the day that heaven came down and glory filled your soul. I'm not talking about the day you started walking around doing right. That you'll do that after you get saved. When you got saved, glory came into your soul. Oh my, made you say hallelujah. Made you say amen to God. Say amen. The Lord Jesus came into your life. One of the greatest moments in your life was when Jesus came into your life. Oh man, how did he come into your life? By the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost that came into your life is Jesus. You believe that? That's right. That's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, Holy Ghost. Jesus was the Father and the Son. All right? It's to be able to know these things, but do you know the moment, the place that where Jesus came into your heart? And I want to ask you this. Did joy come? Did peace come? Amen. Did the presence of God get in you and put a shout in your soul? Amen. Made an amen in you, amen. Or you just do it because it's the right thing. You're in the wrong shape. When you get saved, you get born again. A new person in Christ Jesus. You become a new creation in the Lord. He starts growing a new person, amen. What's this person of? Of the Holy Ghost, amen. Of the Holy Ghost, amen. My niece came into my house years ago. She was all tore up. She was an artist. She was at Tampa, Florida. And she was there and she went to one of the artist schools there and became a great artist. She came back home. She was in a mess. And she used to go down in the pits of all these race cars and make portfolios of all the racers. Her cover was on Motor Trend many times. But she was a mess. She came home and I'd go witness when she got back home up here after school and everything else. And I'd go out there and witness, and I'd start talking to her about Jesus. And she'd look at me and she'd say, "You make my head buzz. Leave me alone." You know, and I said, "Just want to talk to you about Jesus, Gwen." Went out the door. Did that bother you? No, man. What do you expect a sinner to do? What do you expect them to come out of them? They're lost. What do you expect them to say? Yeah, well, you are hearing it nowadays. I know Jesus, but there's some evidence that it's not in there. You know, so I went out the door. And I was working at that time. I was I worked in a lab, an analyst, and all that. And going up the line, man, going up the ladder. I used to play ball. I flew in a jet airplane from the governor's jet all the way to California to play ball. Old governor, Jakin 78. That's Jakin 78. We get in there and fly all and play ball and everything. I was working a job. Then God saved me. Hey, I don't need to tell you my experience. I got to preach to you. I got the message for you. I done gave it to these two boys, but they wouldn't hear it. Maybe y'all will, all right? I just kidding. All right? I got a mistake. I thought this is Zach and Zach. I thought he was him. But who was who? Let me tell you about Gwen. I'll get in the scripture. We'll be in Ephesians, please. Anyway, I was going out to take some samples, and I drove by, and Gwen was at the pump, anybody doing that. She was sitting at that pump and getting her gas, her little car about beat all the peas, and I pulled up beside her and I looked at her and she said, "Leave me alone." I said, "Right out." I just want to say good morning, Gwen. That's all I was going to say. "Leave me alone." I ran over my grandson to my nephew's house. He was a preacher. I said, "Let's pray. Gwen's getting in good shape." Yeah. She's getting in real good shape. But I said, "Let's pray. Let's pray." You know? And so we got to pray, you know, and she went on to work. And about Wednesday night, I was getting ready to go to prayer meeting. And I was pastor at that time. And so I come to the door, and I was knocking on the door, and there stood, there she stood, just as sweet with her hair all going down, standing in the rain, and looking at me like that. She said, "I went to the doctor, and he said either see a psychiatrist or a preacher." I'd like to meet that doctor. I'd like to meet him. You know, I mean, I want to meet who that doctor was, praise God. So she said, "I'll come see you, Uncle Donnie." I said, "Go downstairs." We went down the den. We're sitting there. She's got her head in her hands, and I'm kissing. I've got a little track for you now. This is not really good. I don't think that y'all can have one. It's only mostly about the pandemic and stuff like that, but it's got some good scriptures in it. And I just print especially for you. It's not a track that I'm going to send out or anything else. It's just for you. So she come down. I took her down in the study, in my den, And she's sitting there, brother, and she's sitting in her seat at the end. And she's sitting there, and she's tore up now. She's tore up. She's waiting and crying, just going on. Now, she's raised in church as a girl. She's just there crying and going on. And I'm sitting over her, and I said, "Gwen, let me discuss to you on the theology of the doctrine of repentance." I said, "Gwen, are you saved?" "No." I'm getting somewhere, boy. I'm getting somewhere there. "No! No!" Now, I turned around. "So let me tell you this." "No, no." I looked at her and I said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's what he said, that one in the Philippian jailer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
"Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." "What am I going to do?" She asked me, she said, "What I got to be? What I got to do to be saved?" That's what he asked. Remember, "What I got to do to be saved?"
Yeah.
So I took the scripture. I said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." That's what he told the jailer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He didn't go no farther than that.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost does the work.
Yeah.
Woo! The Holy Ghost does the work. Amen. Yeah. She's sitting there and she's going like this. She said, and she'd already asked me that. She said, I will. What's it going on? I ain't never felt like this. I've never felt like this in my life. What is happening?" I said, "I believe you just got saved. Amen. I believe you just got saved." And she got up and said, "I never have felt like this in my life. I've never have felt this way in my life. Hey. You know, I believe that the understanding of that, of what the person is to believe, it's in their will. It's in your will. It's in your will. It's in your will. Emotions. And the heart believe and all that is. But you get saved in your will. It's in your will you get saved. I will believe. I will live. But you got to get in this other kind of condition where you just ain't got no hope. And when you're just miserable, when you're blind, when you're naked, when you're tore up, and you have no peace, and you're going on every which way, and you get into such a condition, you're getting right to get saved, amen. You're getting right to get saved, amen. If you're in that condition, I want you to meet the Savior.
Yeah, amen.
How am I going to tell you about him? He heard about him all his life.
Yes.
What did he do? He died on the cross for your sins.
Right.
He done it all. You can't do nothing.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Anything you do, what are you going to do? Believe. You got to repent and believe. Now, I ain't going to get into all that. You'll understand that after I get saved. Sit down and tell you what you done. You really don't know, but when you turn, you know, and you don't need to know how, well, you don't need to tell a lost sinner about repentance. All you need to tell a lost sinner is about a great Savior. There is a great Savior. Once you ever meet him, you will get just like, I hope you do, anyway, Brother Harvey, amen. You get just like my father that led me in the way, Samuel. He was my father. Have you ever been in the glory? Have you ever been in that, but you're talking about the glory? Have you just, young people, have you ever just got out of it? Like praising your Savior that you say you have, and there's no praise in your heart, there's no joy in God, there's no peace in you. You need something, buddy. You need something. If you're saved, you need to get right. If you're not saved, you need to get it. Amen. That's what you need to get. And it's not of me, not of works, not of any man, not of us, nobody. Only God the Holy Ghost can get a hold of you, take you to your house, put you in your car, set you in your place. All of a sudden, you'll bow down and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner, amen. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, amen."
Woo! Yes, sir.
That ain't even close when I'm going to preach. I'm famous for that. 40-something years of it. Have you met the wild man from down Tennessee? I go down south, they had a hat for me, had a tornado on it. You know? I used to see a lot of young people get saved. Seen a lot of young preachers too. A bunch of young preachers. And I don't know I have this thing. It's on here somewhere then. Let's get to the text. I got to hurry. Okay? Ephesians, you're there, aren't you? I'm not. I'm fixing to get there, though. One verse. And we'll just let this, let's get the start of this week. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. I want to preach this morning on we need a good PR man. And it's not public relations. We need a good man with the pure rage of God. A pure rage. A pure rage. I got so mad one time I couldn't see straight. Get that man. The man who loses his head is usually the last one to miss it. You get that in a minute. Who is the founder of anger? Jesus. He went into the temple. And they were in there with their merchandising, selling sheep and goats. And he took a cord and he drove them out. He drove them out. And then he went over to the money changer's table and he turned them over. That's Jesus? You're going to have to get the other character of Jesus. You're going to have to discern about that anger. It's not to be, it's got to get under control. And I'm going to touch that here in a few minutes. Jesus was the founder of anger. But there's a foolishness of anger. Now, let me say this on about excited passions. That's a passion, ain't it? It's a passion to be angry. You know, and we're really easily to a man who cannot be angry at evil usually lacks the excitement of good. I don't want to pass that by too fast. Yeah. If you have that anger on you, the anger might come into your life. I said, but if there's a man that cannot be angry at evil, usually is one that does get not excited about good. His passions. You ought to be as passionate for the goodness of God. Right. Passionate for the grace of God. Passionate for the glory of God. That passions ought to exemplify in your life on the praise of God. Just don't think it's much something to be not talked about and giggled about. And when someone gets excited about the Lord and they raise that hand and they worship God according to that Bible, and they give an excitement for God, that people say, oh man, you look at him, he's fanatical. You better believe I'm fanatical. I'm a fan of Jesus, aren't you? You get real fanatical on that ballpark, don't you? You get real fanatical about everything in the world. But why can't you get fanatical about the Lord? And that's fire. I said, that's fire.
Amen. Good, brother.
My wife, two young preachers, those Cooley boys. You met them. Bonnie Cooley is her mom. You know, and Bonnie's a real quiet, soft-spoken lady. She's very quiet. Me, never wore a pair of pants her whole life. Some of the little kids, she wore like that all the way up until she's in her 50s, 60s. Got saved as a little bitty girl. And she's real meek and quiet. Raised two great boys, all of both of them on the mission field. And one morning I was teaching on praise. And you know I don't say too much about praising God. You know, I say very little about that. And my wife has never shouted a day in her life. Are you angry? They say, you're mean, Brother Harvey. You're mean. And that's preaching on, I talked about praise that morning. Give us scripture. Had 10 minutes, you know. Can Brother Harvey stay in 10 minutes? How long have I got? How long have I got? 10 minutes?
Five more.
Praise God. Amen. We got five more, we got to run fast. He lies a lot, too. Yeah. I'm only going to do that now. I met him that way, and he's finally accepted me like I am. You know, after a while, he had to. Nobody else would. So I was sitting in the living room, so my wife's sitting in there, you know, in the kitchen. Out of nowhere, brother, I've got to get to the scriptures. Out of nowhere, she's in the kitchen, I'm in there, it's afternoon, you know. When I go home from church on afternoons, I don't watch the television and watch a bunch of junk and fill my mind up, but I get ready for Sunday night.
That's right.
I get ready for Sunday night. I can't wait to get back Sunday night.
Amen.
Ain't no telling what God's going to do with us. Ain't no telling what God's going to do. And I want to commend you for one thing is, the one that gets in there early and is faithful to it is the one who's going to get something from God.
That's good.
You know, you put yourself sacrifice. I mean, I like the Spirit. When I come in here, man, everybody ready to talk about the Lord. Yeah, that's wonderful, wonderful. My wife's sitting in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, come through the house. I'm sitting in our living room. You know, Bonnie, don't shout. She's trying to defend herself. She got under conviction, you know what I mean? And Bonnie, don't shout. I got up and quietly, slowly moved to the kitchen. Preaching time. It don't make no difference for Bonnie don't shout. Don't make no difference for that person next to you don't shout. Don't make no difference who else don't shout. The Bible says to shout. The praise means to rant and rave and act clamorously foolish. You look it up. To rant and rave and act clamorously foolish. You know what you... I'm going to not say the wild word. Yankees. Don't you say the south word either. Give it. That's the H word. What's your word? See, you'll tell. Oh, it's what you do. You're causing more problems. You. What was I talking about? Praise. That's called running a rabbit. I know. Digressing from the subject. I got another thought. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But I tell you what, one thing, I appreciate the dedication and the consecration of your young men and your young ladies.
Right.
But you need to get a hold of the praise of God. The glory of God will come on a place where there's right praise. You ever been in the glory? You get to praising God. You don't get out of mind. You know where you're at. You can get in the glory with God and with praise. I've been with thousands of young people. Just get in the glory. They would actually be ranting and raving, acting clamorously foolish. That'd be plumb foolish. What in the world you act like that for? I've seen them, you know what? They'd sit down after they got done. What'd you do that for? The flesh is eating them alive. What did you act like that for? What did you act like that for? That's your flesh. You old stinking flesh and pride don't like it. Your pride don't like it. You've got to humble that self. You've got to get that old self out of the way. Because you're not worthy to worship the Lamb of God. You're not worthy to raise that hand and praise Him. You're not worthy to even say hallelujah to God. And only what you do is say, praise God for what you've done for me. Praise God for letting me come to the camp meeting. Praise God, I've got a good family. Praise God, I've got a good pastor. Praise God, I've got a good youth leader. Praise God, I can sit here and sing songs that mean something to me. I praise God for all the goodness of God in my life. I was nothing until He found me. He brought me out of the bottom. He put me on His helm. He gave me joy in my heart. He made me so fanatical and so emotional, I was already that way. He just had to get control of it. Hallelujah. He had to get some kind of excitement in you. I don't want any of this dead, formalized bunch of religion. Amen. What I've been preaching you is right. Amen. You let this dead bunch tell you down if you want to. He asked me to come.
Amen.
I got to go to Blaine, Pennsylvania. Somebody had a t-shirt on. Mr. Black, Brother Black, I reckon is his name. He called me. He said, Brother Harvey, you know, tell me. He said, I was over there last year. He said, would you come over here after the meeting on 4th of July? So that makes me, I got to hang around anymore. You know? So I ain't got about five shirts, so. He said, "You, I ain't got the text, but I'll give you 2 points. I got another. I ain't even got the message." He said, "Now, Brother Aubrey, we might just sit there and look at you and not say anything."
Well,
they will. So we just might say, "That won't bother you, will it?" I said, "No, it won't bother you if I act like a hillbilly and I come over and start jumping the pews."
Man.
"It won't bother you if I come walking down through the aisle and come up to someone and say, 'How do you know the Lord?' The old timers can pick you out, buddy. They can pick you out."
That's right. That's right.
They knew the Holy Ghost. Discerning. They knew when He's around.
That's right.
They'd look at you, they'd look like they could come through you. You were afraid of them, but you wasn't afraid of them of hurting you. You wasn't afraid of them of hurting you the wrong way. You were fearful of them because they were the man of God. They walked as a man of God. They walked like a man of God. Amen. Is this thing on some kind of screen thing too? This thing ain't live streaming all that stuff. Praise God. It'll be the last of you. Harold B. Sider. I've got too many experiences. I'm like Brother Sammy. I just preach too many memories. Everybody heard Brother Sider's message on "Can God? God can. God can." You young people never heard of it. Brother Sider was the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist School Church over in Greenville, South Carolina. Great brother, he's dead, Brother Sider is. But he's on a Wednesday night service, maybe 1,000 or more people there than on Wednesday night. I sat and talked to the man that took his place for about an hour or two the other day, Melvin Akins. We just sat down, all he had was memories. Well, Brother Sider preached on a Wednesday night, regular service, regular Wednesday night. He's going to preach on over in Psalms 58. He preached on the wilderness, and there's in the wilderness, and he's talked about God setting a table in the wilderness. And he said, "I want to preach on, can God set a table in the wilderness? Can God set a table in the wilderness?" And he went through all the things. He said, "All y'all out there worried, all the worried about it." He said, "But us independent fundamental Baptists, we just bow our little heads and lay down on our pillows and say, 'God can. God took care of every need of that great college, that great school, that great church.'" Some of the greatest people, men, preachers, have come out of there, 300-something missionaries. I don't know how many preachers. But he preached, "Can God, can God?" And Melvin Akins, I asked him, I said, "Melvin, was that you?" When he started saying, "Amen, Brother Melvin," he said, "Brother Melvin Akins took his place when he died." And I sat with him and listened to him, and I said, "Was that you?" "When old Brother Silas, now I'll show you about Brother Melvin. Man, God. He was preaching there all about God can, God can." And all of a sudden, old Brother Melvin, they go and he'd say, "Amen, Brother Melvin. Amen." Then they get up, they'd shout a little while longer. He'd talk about what God could do for them, they'd shout a little bit longer. Talk about what God could do for them, they shout a little longer. All of a sudden, old brother, he'd say, "Amen, Brother Melvin. Amen." You know, he's on the pulpit, you know. And they're going all over the place shouting. He said, "You know what I was doing? I talked to Brother Melvin the other day." He said, "Brother, I was running up and down the aisle, running up and down the aisle." He became the pastor after Brother Sotter died. But as he was preaching like that, and they're getting very emotional, they were shouting around 1,000 or more how many he has on Wednesday night, you know. They were rejoicing in the Lord. And all of a sudden, that thing just getting loud and everything, and he stops. He said, "Oh no, we're on the radio. You'll never live me down. We'll never live this down." There was a shouting on the place. "We'll never live this down." That's my preacher. "What is this?" I'm in a car. We're winding up the road going to the camp meeting. And I was with a preacher. And he said, "But I feel His divine presence in my soul. How can I help but preach?" And the thing, my phone went brrrr. Me and that boy stopped that car. We was out in the middle of the road going round and round out of that car. Going round and round the car. There's no way nowadays if we could just get to a place when you get behind the pulpit and you feel the divine presence of the Lord. How could you help but preach? It's very few days. It's very few things. I believe I'm here on the divine appointment. I went through a
rejecting it.
Slowly, he says, you go that way. You don't know how hard I fought coming up here. It's not you, though. It wasn't you. It wasn't that I don't want to see you. It wasn't that. I said, God, what in the world? I can't go tell them anything they ain't already heard. I can't preach these young people something they already heard it. You've already heard it. You've heard it and heard it and heard it. I can't tell you anything new. I can't preach you anything different. I can't tell you about somebody any different. He's the same God right now as he was when I was a boy. He's the same God right now as when you were a boy. He's the same God right now as he was in the time past. He ain't changing. He ain't changing. He's the same preaching. The same way to honor God. The same way to live with the Lord. The same way to get born again. The same way to get on your face and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
This is the way I was when I first started.
Rachel.
I used to get to God. Down in our area, preacher Mike here says, have you met that fellow? My goodness. Have you talked to Brother Harvey today? I go into churches now and kids go up to me and they say, you're funny. I've just been raised around a bunch of junk. I was raised around the old time religion. It wasn't funny when my mama shouted. We'd be sitting there watching mama. She'd tear the house down, bud. She'd tear it down. And what did have your daddy at? The father. He'd sit on the front seat. Preacher boy wasn't preaching. Not the right doctrine, he just tapped the floor and said, that ain't Bible boy. We get in the car, we go home, mama just, old preacher, or evangelist said, you'll remember your mama shout more than you remember what your daddy told you to do. Ain't that the truth? You'll remember your mama shout. We get in the car, we be going home, mama done tore it up. Heard about five or six other women. You know, Jesse! I'm old timer now, I said.
They did say half sweetie, honey.
Jesse, I don't care how loud you shout. You hit the floor walking by. You shout all you want to, but you hit that floor walking by. But the young people shout up a storm on this youth meeting, but they go out the door, they can't walk by.
That's right. That's right.
Come on.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Well, how am I going to be able to walk this way? By the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You say, you mean I'm going to fail when I get to fall? Any man says he doesn't know sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in. You say you don't have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in. But if we sin, that's your choice. That kills Calvinists, though. If. Yeah. That little word if just kills Calvinists. It just kills the Calvinists. Yeah. If. Just a little too little word. Just kills the hound out of a Calvinist. If. If you will, I will. If you will, I will. It's your choice. It's your welfare. It's in your ballpark. It's in your life. Don't try to ask God what to do. He's already done it, amen. Don't ask him what he does. He shed his blood for your sin. He gave his life on Calvary for you. He gave it where you can have eternal life. He's already done everything needed for your soul, amen. It's your choice. It's your matter. When you're going to get tired of your sin, I'm preaching to the best ones in here, I think. You're going to bring some in here that's messed up big time?
You did.
There's going to be somebody come here. I've done spotted one and sitting in this thing, and it's not a young person. They just sitting crying up a storm. I've seen them many times when I preach a meeting, brother. There'll be an older person sitting there that just be crying. I just had a meeting last week. That woman come in here on that Sunday morning. She's in miserable shape. She's in miserable shape. Did she get it? That don't know. Before the end of the week, though, I think she got it.
Good.
Takes a little bit of time, you know. I've got a lot to say about anger. Maybe get it there to you, but I think I'm going to stop right there. Let me put it to you this way. When you got saved, the grace and the mercies and the wonderful works of Jesus Christ came into your life.
Amen.
I watched my daughter. She made a profession when she was just a little kid. That's the morning I got saved, Lord, when she got, I didn't know it. What do you mean you got saved? You didn't know it?
Woo!
No. What did you know? The Lord came into my life. I didn't know all it. I just know that morning He came into my life.
Come on, bro.
That morning, and what'd you bow down? I thought I was saved. I thought, you know, I've been told I was saved 12 years old. Or I made a confession with a lot of other people. But I was going to play my golf game. I'll let this memory be the last. I'm going to play my Sunday morning golf game, brother. We play ball all summer, and then in the wintertime we play golf. Work out on weights. Some of these boys, I want to let you know, I'm going to try to keep the bluff on you being a Vietnam veteran and all this stuff. But I'm 74 and I think you can handle me. But I won't tell my grandkids that. You understand? My grandson, he can bench, he can squat 600 pounds for a squat. He can squeeze you a bit. Hi, Pop. And I was headed out to go play golf. And here comes Buffy in there, 12 years old. She's 50. Ann says, Buffy wants to get saved. I said, what'd you do? Put her up here and make me go to church? And I said, well, you just get in some way to make me go to church. I ain't going. I wasn't going to go to church. I got to go play golf. I'm living my life, man. Who cares about you? Or the kids. I'm living for old Donnie. She said, no, Dad, you know, here's the little baby, your sweet girl. No, Dad, Mama didn't, I just want to be saved. I just want to be saved, Dad. There's going to be a Bible around here somewhere. That thou shalt confess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in my heart, God's waiting until thou shalt be saved. I can remember Dad, believe me. See, I don't know where a Bible's at, wasn't that around. You know, there was one, Ann had one. I didn't have a Bible, I didn't have no Bible. Lord God, I lost. Who cares anything about a Bible? So I said, yeah, I'll go to church. I went out the door and they all, here they come up, pulling up. Oh, here the men, here come the boys, they come up to me. You going? I said, I ain't going today. I'm going to church. You're what? I said, I'm going to church. We'll see you. I'm going to say, well, right here, one little point right here. You don't have to worry about being separated from them. They'll separate from you once you get saved. They'll leave you once you get saved. You don't have to be separate from them. They'll get out of it. They don't want to run around with you. They don't want to go with you. They don't want to talk like you do. They don't want to go to church. You don't have to worry about being separated. They'll leave you. So, they said, you'll clear see you. So I went to church that morning. Went in there and sat down. Now, you know, you had that Southern Baptist profession. Uh-oh. Shouldn't call that. Hope I didn't offend you. You got the wrong version. Very important, man, of God. Very important is the King James Bible. Very important, young people. Very, very, very important. You got a pastor here that pretty good at it. Well, he said around me, I might teach him something about the Bible. I couldn't hold his papers. So, he's put his life to it. He's devoted himself to it. So did my pastor, Dr. James Jones Jr., down at Tabernacle. He devoted his life to that King James Bible. Well, anyway, how'd he get there? I didn't have no King James Bible, so we went to church. I bowed down. He said, pray. He said, Donnie, you get over and pray. Shane Buffy, come over here, pray. We'll pray with you and pray this simple child prayer. You know what I mean? And I bowed down. To other people, I bowed down. And when I bowed down on my knees, guess who showed up? Thought nothing no more about Buffy then. But when I bowed down, Brother Vernon, all of a sudden God, the Holy Ghost, showed up. Amen. I start confessing my sin. I start repenting. I start telling the Lord, I know, God, I'm sorry. I forgive me of all my ways. Forgive me my sin. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go with you from that moment on. And from 40-something years ago, I decided to follow Jesus on one Sunday morning. Now I want to tell you one thing. He's sweeter as the days go by. He's greater and more in my life at 40 years than he was when I first started. He's a great God. He's a great Savior. I got saved that morning. And I didn't even know it. What did you know? I knew somebody came into my life. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know nothing about him. I got me a Bible. I started following after him with his word. And his word told me who he was. Well, if he didn't get saved years later, had a bunch of young people get saved under a youth revival in a tent meeting. Brother got them get saved in that youth revival. She'd come home every evening. She had her car. I had money. And now I'm a poor preacher. I don't have no money anyway. Then this gyp joined up here tried to take all her money, didn't he? That Motel 6 up there. We and him just figured loose. Let them out on one mess with them. They don't take money nowadays. That's all the same. I ever say, you don't want money? I said, here, I'll pay for it. Can't have it. Got to have a debit card. I said, what's the difference of a debit card? We cannot take your money until I have a debit card on. That don't make sense. So that morning, that one night, I went to the youth revival. I promise, I'm going to quit here. I'm not going to preach. I've got enough there to last 2 weeks. No, it'd take a 3 years for the way I preach. You gotta have 30 minutes or more of what I do right now, and then maybe at the end of the year you might get the message, all right? She'd come home from school, she's in high school. She had a car and a motor, you know, feed the bad kids all this stuff. Once I became preacher, they'd get nothing. Because I didn't. I had too many big shots tell me, Brother Vernon, you'll starve to death, Brother Harvey. I said, if I do, you won't know it. So, you all ain't no rich dudes up here, might as well forget it. I do think everybody up here got money. We just barely can't get by. Ain't that right? Say amen right there. You know that outside. But you know the gospel was preached to the poor. That's what he told old John the Baptist. He said, tell him and I that the gospel is preached to the poor. Amen. That's what made me feel better in jail. Since you take my head off, they're going to take me and kill me. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you a comforting word. I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. I'm giving the poor the word of God. And that made old John the Baptist leap all over the place because the gospel was getting out. So I let her, she'd come home every evening. She'd ride down her down a dock. We had a dock and all that stuff, private docks and all that junk. You know, got your own private docks and all that stuff. She'd go down there and sit on the dock. She'd come back up and as she'd come through that door, she'd just look at me. And she was thinking it over, buddy. She was checking out where she headed or not.
was just not an overnight thing. And then one night, listen to the young person, one night in her bedroom by herself, she bowed down on her knees with just her and God. She said, Lord, I don't know if she said forgive me. She said, Lord, please come into my heart. This verse said, please come into my life. Please come into my life. I just keep that memory of what she said. She probably said more. I just know that statement. And she said, from that moment on, God came into her life. And she brings it back to that day where she bowed down, that place where she bowed down. And she said, Dad, it wasn't all your preaching and telling me what to do. Listen, brother. Wasn't that all you telling me what to do and you preaching to me that got me? I couldn't stand you down under my room praying, God, that saved my help. I couldn't stand you down under that place praying for me. Praying for me. If you've got a praying daddy, you've got a praying mama. You got one to seek of God that you might get to the Lord. Man, that's what's going to get you more than anything else. You can't take them. They can't take their praying. Can't take their praying. They're praying for you to get into God. Then some that don't have a mom and a daddy. Don't have anybody to pray for. There's somebody praying for you, buddy. There's somebody praying for you. Or you wouldn't be right here right now. You wouldn't be where you're at back there, brother, if somebody didn't pray for you all. Somebody prayed for you. And that's why you got where you're at. Let us glorify God yet. Somebody pray for you. Somebody pray for me. Got down on my knees. Talked about the time. Somebody down on my knees and pray for me. I had no doubt that God would bring me out. And then right in front of destiny. I'm so glad that somebody pray for me. You wouldn't want to be at that camp meeting. There was about 1,000 of us. And the glory came down. They ran over to the mamas and their daddies. And they said, I thank you for praying for me. I thank you for praying for me. Somebody pray for you to get where you're at, buddy. And don't be mad about that. Sammy Allen used to kill me. He sent me all over the place. He just shake me up a storm. Why don't you spend this week saying, God, make it real.
Yes, sir. Come on. Amen. Yes, sir. Come on.
Exactly right.
You've got good leaders.
God help
me. Seek for God to make it real for this week's out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make it real.
Get in the place and if God is you can get mad at me. These bunch get mad at me. You better learn how to praise God. You better shut your stinking pride. Get them hands up. Oh, I got too many memories, brother. I'll tell one more and I'll quit, I reckon. Oh, my. Brother Crouch Sexton, Crown College in around my area. You've heard of Crown College. Surely you heard of Crown College. And Clarence Sexton. He's a bus boy. Got saved in Rockwood, Tennessee, where I live. He made a terrible mistake. He asked Sammy Allen to come preach the chapel. We heard about it down here and said, Sammy's preaching chapel up at Crown. Me and that Ray Beard and Jeff Clemens, we're going to see this. We're going to help him. We're going to see this, you know. So we went up there. He already had them all standing up, you know. They're all standing, you know, I don't know how they've been standing, but they already had them all standing. Yeah. He'd walk around, he'd go over to them big old administrators, big old things, you know, got all that knowledge and everything, you know. What I know, Brother Harvey, I know pretty good. I said, you know, listen. He didn't say that to me at that time. He said that when I read it. Some great things. He went over to one of the big ministers and he said, you see that? I could do 50 push-ups right here and here.
Yes, sir, Brother Allen. Yes, sir.
You know, that's the college teachers. You ain't Zach. Let me get over to Zach.
So he got up and he got out and he said, I'm preaching today. He said, and he just happened to say, okay, you can start the tape now.
We got CDs doing it.
You can start it now. I'm fixing to preach. And I preach on, what time is it? I've heard it 1,000 times. But every time I heard it, there'll be power.
Amen.
What time is it? He said, it's praying time. He goes on praying. It's preaching time. You thought I knew right there. He goes on for about another hour, maybe 15, maybe a couple hours. He said, it's praising time.
Right.
Oh, we're fixing to get into it. Get them hands up right now. Now, them preachers already go wild on the rest of them. I mean, the preacher gets under another preacher. He's preaching with power, man. That preacher gets going, buddy. He loves it. He loves it, buddy. He says, praising time. Everybody get those hands up. They all get them up. He goes over there. Clarence Sexton. Get your hands up, Brother Sexton. Get your hands up. He throws them up. So, just the glory came down. Now, was it in a matter that was not in a place? It was just worshiping God like you praise your own natural things. That praise that you have for the fans and all out there, God wants it.
Amen.
He's tired of you praising that football hero.
That's right.
He's tired of you praising the veteran.
That's right.
He wants the praise.
Yes.
He wants the praise.
Yes.
He wants the praise.
Yes, sir.
You all want a Trump football hero or ball player? I can give you a record of playing ball. You want a veteran? I was a Ranger in Vietnam. But I don't want you to see a Ranger.
That's right.
I don't want you to see a ball player. I want you to see Jesus.
Yeah.
I want you to see Jesus.
Yeah.
You see him by faith. You see him by the word of God. He's wrote all over that book. He's all over that book. Every time he comes up, it comes up in the book. So praise went on. It was late. He got up early, he said, and Brother Sexton said, well, this old. And he was asking about Christ's time. It had already been 2 or 3 hours. It had been a couple of 3 hours. He said, what time is it? You know what? That's the title of the message. They all start laughing. That's what some Brother Sexton said. What time is it, you know? He said, just set the classes up. No, dismiss the classes. Brother Sammy, you get down here in front. And all you preachers come by and see us. And shake his hand and tell him how much you love. They come down to you, Brother Sam. He's out smiling. You know, he just out smiling. Oh, great fella. They come by and they're shaking his hand. Here comes the preacher boy up. Too late. He's done in heaven, Zach. You can't do this. And so the preacher boy came up to him and said, Brother Sammy, they all lined up. He said, Brother Sammy, I want you to pray for my school bill. And they said, your son, what is it? She turned something off, Brother Sammy. Hand it to him. You know what the rest of them is going to do. You know what the rest of them is going to do. I said, too late, boys. He picked that one out. He'll pick you out, buddy. And when you get something from him, you got something from the man of God.
Yes, sir.
You got something from the man of God. He handed it to him, you know. I don't even know who the boy was, I don't. So whatever, I gotta get done with all these stories. Memories. I'm getting old, I gotta have memories. Bless God, I made some. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, spirit, why don't you make some? Why don't you make some memories? Your turn.
Yep.
Won't you have some places in your life where the man of God worked in you? Yep. Won't you have some places in your life where you come to youth camp? You got in here at youth camp. God got all over you. God touched you in such a way. Why don't you have the memories of coming here? I said, I remember I come in there 1 year, and I was in a mess, and I wasn't what I need to be, and I finally got my way to God. Why don't you make some memories? You go ahead and make them before you have them, amen. You can't live off of somebody else's memories. You can't live off of mine. You can't live off of your mama's. You can't live off of your daddy or your sister's or your brother. You've got to make the memories. But you can't make this camp one of the greatest camps around here. That people hunger to come, make those honest people go by here. Something's going on in there. Something's going on in there.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I'm preaching my heart. This is the way I preached when I first started. You asked for it.
Sammy has to change clothes. So he's back there in that room changing clothes. And Brother Sexton is waiting on him to take him out to eat. And I'm with Jimbo Seaton. I don't know if you know Jimbo. And I said, Jimbo, go back there and tell Brother Sammy, come on, Brother Sexton's waiting for him. So he went back there. I said, oh, you Sammy, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to be like that. Here he comes out. Now I'm at Crown College, prepping, tie, suit, nice. Good haircut, just, you know. Okay. Here comes Sammy out with a 10-gallon Texas hat on, sticking straight at you. Come walking down there with this, just a good luck at everything, and he comes up to us and said, Brother Sammy, oh, I'm so sorry, Brother Sexton, I'm so sorry. So we went out there, Brother Sexton, waiting on him in the band, and plus all the ministry and all the preachers. And we went out there, and I said, Brother Sammy, I don't believe you can do 50 push-ups. I'll do them right now, Brother Harvey. I said, no, I'm just kidding you, Brother Sammy. Just kidding you. He wouldn't hit me all that right there, brother. You couldn't kid him because he took everything serious. Everything serious, brother. Every serious thing. Serious thing about this. Serious thing. I'll pray or quit. Let me let this last thing said. You're going to have to make some memories before you can have them.
That's right.
It's your opportunity. What kind of memories you going to make? You come to youth camp, wouldn't do what God told you to do, sitting stubborn, be mean, hateful, didn't want to do anything right for God. You just had to come because you was made to come. You had to be here because you didn't want to come anyway. Why don't this camp meeting set such a desire in you that you wouldn't even want to go to bed because it got the buzz in there around here?
Oh.
Get on a buzz.
Lord, I know I'm on divine appointment. And you know all the thoughts and things I had for the whole week. Not only here, Lord, there's a burden of two. For this brother Black. And we spoke a little while. But may this might be an area and time opportunity for the old time way to come into this way. God, I pray that these young people not only experience that work of your power to overcome sin, but also the power to be able to rejoice in the Lord. Let them not miss that great thing, that wonderful thing of worship, that wonderful thing of singing the songs and it speaks to our hearts. Help Brother McVeigh as he directs or whoever, as it might start tonight. I pray I spoke to them and charged them, Lord. I'm not challenging them, I'm charging them. Such a stronger word. And I ask you to do it this week, do it this day, in Jesus' name, amen.
Brother McVeigh, give me just a moment here, and then you, whatever God wants. I just have a couple of administrative things here. Go ahead and get this, sister. couple things. Now,